This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's go around the NFL. But real quick, the question of the day was, what is a hill that you're just always going to die on? Mm-hmm. You're just unwilling to leave. And I think we just got to keep that going all day because people got takes, baby. People got takes from the 713. I will not tip unless I'm sitting down in a restaurant.
Oh, man. I get it. But ever since COVID, I'm like, even on the pickup.
Oh, they got you?
Yeah, they got me. Even on the pickup, you got to do a little, even just 10%.
It depends where you at, though, right?
Oh, not fast food. I'm talking about, like, you know, you pick up something. Whatever, at a Mexican restaurant.
Wait, what's the difference between fast food and the pickup, takeout?
Well, fast
at a restaurant?
Food, you're just going through the drive through, whatever.
Are they not doing the same amount of cooking and bagging up that you are at a restaurant?
No, not really. I mean, it's a system. But what I'm saying is that at a restaurant, they're still going to make.
I feel like fast food deserve a tip a little more, right?
No, I don't do as much on fast food.
Occasionally, no love for the fast food.
I've got a lot of love for fast food, but when I pick up now, I always tip, even if it's, I guess just a habit now out of COVID.
So you're the person who's creating all these boxes where they got us tipping on various things.
That's me.
It's your fault?
Yeah, but I hate those. And they start at like
19%. Yeah, because apparently you can't say no.
Yeah.
Like they start at 18% and then it goes to like 30%. I'm like, oh, you got to check 30%.
All right. Let's go around the NFL now where, hey, there's going to be a party. We love parties, right?
Mm-hmm. Texas, I love parties.
Texas announced a couple things. First and foremost, they announced the draft party, which is presented by Modelo. That's going to be at the Plaza Avenida, Houston, on April 24th, which is, of course, the night of the first round of the draft. So that should be fun. And then on top of that, we have visual on the draft hats.
Oh, we do. That's right. They just dropped, didn't
they? Yeah. So did you get a chance to look at them? Like, obviously, they're one in a line of a lot of draft hats that, you know, they have a certain style that they take all the way across. It's in order to kind of describe it, it's well, I guess you actually have a different color hat than I'm looking at. But, you know, they'll have the actual cap one color and then the brim of the hat a different one. On the front panel of the hat, you have the H-Town logo. So it's not the Bull logo. It is the H with Texans across the top. Arced across the top, and underneath it says Houston, Texas. And then on the brim, it kind of has like almost like a like branches of sorts. Or what are those described as?
I don't know. I guess that would be. Is that? It's kind of like a. I don't know, it's a decoration of some sort.
Yeah.
Olive leaf.
Yeah, olive leaf. There we go. Thank you. I appreciate it. I was struggling.
I think they're pretty clean. And I don't mean like clean as they're, I really love them. I do love them. But a clean, just the design is a clean design. Clean, sharp design. You talk about leaning in. They are leaning into H-Town. I love it.
Yeah, I did find it interesting that they went with that logo, but that's the template. It seems like all the teams have that same space. However, they're getting clowned on a little bit because they do kind of look like a veteran hat, especially with that little olive leaf flourish.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it does look like they're trying to do something that's almost like pseudo military in the way they're going about it.
Yeah,
but yes,
and every NFL team has that little. It's almost like the wreath that they put back on Jesse Owens. You know, when he it's the olive leaf wreath, something like that.
I'm crying.
Yeah.
All right. Are you getting one of these hats?
I would take one for sure. Yeah. I like them.
I'm sorry. I'm not doing a draft hat.
No, I'm not going to draft a hat. You're not going to do a draft hat at all? I think it's a clean
If somebody
look.
Give you one, would you rock it?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like we really need a hat specifically for the NFL draft as well.
Which one is worse, the draft hats or the spring training hats?
Ooh, I feel like the spring training hats, they're gonna wear them a little bit more than a draft hat, which is just that one night. And shout out to the 832 who's like already bought both of them.
Yeah.
Already bought both colors. But you know what? I will acknowledge that I'm not a big hat guy. I don't do a lot of hats. So the idea of having all of these different hats and for different like events makes it so that I'm just like I'm not doing that.
The thing about these that I like. It doesn't really highlight the draft. It's more of a team hat for the draft.
Okay.
I think you would like this one. Like, it doesn't say 2025 NFL draft, because after the 2025 NFL draft, they're useless.
Yeah. Sure.
But these are more, I like these. I like these a lot, more than any I've seen lately. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Some other things that are happening around the NFL. Another pro day happened yesterday, and there was a lot of talk about this one, because it could have featured the potential largest NFL player of all time. The draft prospect Desmond Watson, interior defensive lineman from Florida, weighs in at 464 pounds.
364.
No. 464 pounds. He could be the largest draft pick in NFL history. And big boy was doing all sorts of things. 6'6" frame. And there's not a guarantee that he'll be drafted. I know that there's, he's not necessarily like super highly regarded necessarily.
Yeah.
But they had him run the 40.
And he didn't really disappoint considering he weighs 464. He had a 25-inch vertical.
25-inch vertical.
Which, dude, at 464?
Somebody going to bring him in the camp. I don't know if he's going to get drafted, but somebody going to bring him in the camp.
I would. Yeah. Just go ahead and see.
Why not?
Yeah. Right, like. I saw someone talking about this, and they were talking about, hey, man, if y'all are out here trying to ban the tush push, which I'll talk about here in a second,
yeah.
This feels like a tush push stopper. Just go ahead and put a big old man in the middle. All right, you think you that strong? He moved 500.
I think, you know, if it passes, it hurts his draft status. If the banning of the tush push passes.
Interesting.
I think it hurts his draft status. Some NFC East team would bring him in the 7th round, you know?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. Or, I mean, yeah, just to get the flyer on him, or see if you can get him as a UDFA.
Mm-hmm.
To that end, Diana Russini of The Athletic said that nothing is set in stone, but the sense that she's getting from around the league is that there is momentum building around the idea of banning the tush push. It's growing, is what she says.
Man,
so,
that is sorry, man.
Soft.
I hate it. It is soft. I think that's... And I said it from the very beginning. You know, it's not the coaches that are voting on this. It's the owners, and if the owners feel
some type of way about Philly,
I can't have it. So neither can you. Yep. That's what the owners are doing.
They don't want to see Desmond Watson succeed.
Nah, it's one thing a team doing it and they not that good.
Yeah.
But you got Philly who just won the Super Bowl doing it and unstoppable.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
If coaches were voting, I don't think it would pass. Owners voting, I think it'll pass.
That's which so stinks. Whack.
Yeah, stinks.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. But yeah. I was just very intrigued by, and I kind of hate, I don't want it to just be a novelty, but there is novelty in like a dude who is 35 pounds away from being 500 pounds.
Yeah.
And he could end up in the National Football League. I mean, the big boy was moving. He obviously, you mentioned that he had the vertical.
Yeah.
He moved a lot of weight in lifting when it comes to the bench as expected. He was sub six mm-hmm. with his 40-yard dash.
5.64, I think.
5.93.
5.93.
You were really giving him a lot of credit.
I was giving him way too much credit.
But yeah.
Yeah.
And supposedly, according to Billy Napier, his coach of Florida, which again, you know, your coach is going to speak glowingly.
Mm-hmm.
He said he's extremely intelligent, got a great sense of humor, great teammate, all those things, in addition to, like, dude has an incredible stature. Somebody said bring him in so he could play versus the Ravens and they could stop bullying our defense.
Mm-hmm. There was a game this year when the Aggies played Florida where he was in the middle of the field and somebody missed an assignment and he was just standing there and the Aggie running back ran right at him and then did one of those whoop straight to the right. Like, I ain't going there.
The road is closed. I need to find an alternate route.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Salute to Desmond Watson. I don't think way that the Texans in are on that, right?
Nah. Well, nah.
Okay. All right. Very good. Some other things around the NFL. So Brock Purdy is in this space where he's trying to, we're trying to figure out what he gets. Actually, before I go to the Brock Purdy, because I did tease this, I want to go to Shedeur Sanders, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the newer quarterbacks in this particular draft. You know, his pops had been out here talking, as he is wont to do, and obviously as he has the platform to do.
Oh, word. He out here talking.
Colorado. That is, as the head coach of Colorado, there's a lot of instances. And then he has, like, the show that he has. There's just a lot of instances.
Deion Sanders out here talking.
That's right. It's very notable. But Deion Sanders was asked about Shedeur and whether he'd be comfortable with him playing in various places, including, like, the places that are at the very top of the draft. This is what he has to say now.
Shedeur has told me, he's talked to me intently about all the visits he's had with all the teams, so I know where his heart is. I know where he wants to go. If it's New York, it's New York. If it's Tennessee, if it's Cleveland, if it's still the Raiders, if it's New Orleans, if it's any of those teams that are seeking a quarterback, I'm happy with it, man, because I know what he's going to do to the organization. I know what he's going to do.
All right, so let's do a little impromptu. We usually do it on Thursday. Buying or selling? You buying what Deion is saying there? Now, first of all, he did say, I know where he wants to go, and then he says, I don't care.
I'm buying it because I feel like he know his son can potentially fall way down in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's like, hey, we'll go to any one of these teams that want him, like, in the top round.
Yeah.
Now, if he was, like, the undisputed number one overall pick, then I think he'd probably be a little choosy.
Mm-hmm.
But nah, he like, man, I want to get I want my son to get drafted high as possible.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right mm-hmm. on there. I think they don't have nearly the same amount of leverage.
Yeah.
In that same situation, if they wanted to make some things happen, it did sound. He sounded kind of dad-like, like really.
I'm buying it too.
It was really sweet
because
he
of
was
that.
Like, yeah, if it's where it is, I know his capabilities. He'll make it happen no matter what, and he seems to have a desire that, you know, you let him go. And
yeah, I'm buying it too. I think, and he also realizes maybe he's been, and this might not sound funny, but maybe he's been humbled a little bit. He kind of remembers, you know.
Oh, you just said you got a humble Deion. Uh-huh. You got to humble him.
Not a humble Deion. He's been humbled a little bit.
No, it sounds like it because remember all that talk of he ain't going to Cleveland and all this other stuff?
Remember he was saying back not even a year ago, oh, I know who the first two picks are going to be. You know, and all that. I think he realizes, the NFL is very, very particular.
It's still
about
the
it.
NFL,
it's still
man.
The NFL.
Yeah.
So I think he's just, I do buy it.
And I think now we're in the part of the process where I imagine those things that he says affects the process. Whereas then I think, we're doing a little bit of marketing, a little bit of selling.
You see how petty these teams can be.
Mm-hmm.
Like they can take his words and be like, oh, you know what?
Yeah.
We're not drafting him or we're not looking at him. So that stuff means a lot now.
To that end, like I read a really interesting profile from Derek Klassen of The Athletic, kind of breaking down Shedeur Sanders and his outlook and some of the things that he had, like looking at the accuracy that he has, but some of the ways in which, throwing down the field, he also wasn't like pinpoint accurate. Mm-hmm. He was kind of just generally accurate where a larger percentage of the time his receivers had to kind of make some moves to get to the football. He basically ultimately comes to a place where Shedeur Sanders kind of has a good, not great profile, which is about what we were looking at. And I think the real interesting thing that he ultimately comes to is Shedeur Sanders, like, are we talking about more? He's in that tier below Cam Ward and he's further away from, is he further away from Cam Ward or from the next group of guys? Because I think that'll be kind
like
of telling.
Because
the next group of guys is the likes of your guy, Jackson Dart, and some other folks like that. I Will Howard, if you let him tell it, he's trying to be a quarterback one after his pro day or what have you. But yeah, those group of guys outside of there, like, where does he fall? Because right now he exists.
You're making me think here.
In a nebulous space in the middle where people are like, yeah, he can go third to the Giants or second to the Cleveland Browns, or he can fall to like 21 or something.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought of it in those terms. And I think, and this is no slight because I think he's good, I think he's probably further away from Cam Ward than the next group. And the reason is what you're talking about with that piece that you referenced.
And it's a deep dive, so I'm only.
But the gist of this part of it is he's good at throwing to spaces, which is basically a college offense saying, you know, open it up, throw it here, the receiver should be there, that kind of thing, as opposed to, you know, over a linebacker in front of a safety.
But good under pressure, good throwing the football on the move, although, like, he doesn't necessarily do that on his own. You might have to scheme him to do those things. Like, there's clearly good things in here. You wouldn't be talking about him as a high first-round pick otherwise. But, yeah, I think those questions exist in a way. And I feel like Deion is trying to you know, neutralize some of this stuff. Somebody said Shador is a Bronny James, another bust, which I don't think is right. On either account, funny enough, it does seem like, hey, Bronny James is looking like he's a second-round NBA pick prospect where he's working it out in the G League as of right now.
Yeah.
But 409, they said if Sanders falls, the whole green room attention will be the biggest since Brady Quinn. That's Chuck. I don't think he's going to the green room. I'm pretty sure that they're having
a separate party. I think those days are over now, man.
Yeah.
The death of the green room, man. Yeah. I think somebody like him is probably doing his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That's Around the NFL on this Friday. Coming up next, CBS Sports ranked the top 20 quarterbacks of the last five draft classes. Where does our guy CJ Stroud rank? Let's talk about that next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Searching. I like it. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. CBS Sports put together an interesting ranking of the top 20 quarterbacks from the last 5 years of draft class, and that's including this one, mind you. So 2021, 22, 23, 24, and then this upcoming draft class. And I'm really interested in how you would stack it, especially because I know that you guys were talking earlier this week. I believe it was you and B. Scott on Tuesday, and I was trying to join the conversation via text, of course.
Yeah,
about kind of where these quarterbacks in this draft class fall. But of course, within the last 5 years, the Texans drafted C.J. Stroud, right, and he had a incredible rookie season. And then, you know, he had a sophomore season in which it was not necessarily as productive. Even though you end up in the same place when it comes to the end of your season, right, going to the playoffs, losing in the divisional round and such. But I was interested to see, like, how people would stack him up and how some of the guys in this year's draft stack up along with all of those ones. So with that being the case.
No, I have not looked at this.
Very good. And that is I'm going to lean on that because I'm going to ask you, John, in the last of the 20 quarterbacks of the last five drafts, top 20. Where do you think C.J. Stroud falls when it comes to caliber of quarterback?
Last 5 years,
yes.
Quarterbacks drafted.
2021, 22, 23, 24, and of course this upcoming 2025 NFL draft.
C.J. Stroud, I'm trying to go through them all in my head here. I'm going to say definitely top three.
Okay. Figure what you're thinking.
I was going to go top five. I was going to say maybe three or four.
All right. So in that instance, who would you possibly think is better than CJ?
Well, I'm looking. Let's see. At the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I would say I'm going back to 2021. Ooh. It's kind of slim pickings, isn't it? Just 5 years.
Yes, sir.
You know what? He might be one.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think he...
One or two, depending on how people feel about Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I would put CJ over Jaden Daniels right now, but I wouldn't be surprised if they had Jaden Daniels over CJ.
Mm-hmm.
Well, according to Chris Trapasso of CBS Sports, CJ Stroud is the best quarterback that's been drafted over the last five seasons.
All right.
Okay. No surprise with that, right?
No. Where do they have Brock Purdy?
Good question. Brock Purdy, they have third after.
But
Jaden Daniels.
I would. That would be my top three. So, okay. So they did it right.
Okay. According to you, they did that right.
They did that right. Now, 4 and 5 gets interesting because, man, I mean, there's not a whole lot right there.
Well, I'll go ahead and rattle off the top five. Again, C.J. Stroud being the best quarterback that's drafted over the last 5 seasons. They put Jaden Daniels second, which I really appreciated considering that there was a lot of talk about, oh, man, well, Jaden Daniels has reset and he's now have the best rookie season of NFL quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. A year after C.J. Stroud kind of, you know, grabbed that honor. Mm-hmm. And in this place, they're still acknowledging, you know, how good he was and the reasons why he had a little bit of a downturn last year. They're pointing that at where the offense was, where the offensive line was, which, I mean, locally we talked about. So, again, C.J. 1, Jaden Daniels 2, 3, Brock Purdy, 4, Jordan Love of the Packers.
Okay.
And 5, a player in the same division as you, Trevor Lawrence.
Wow. I think that's fair. Now that I look at all the quarterbacks drafted, I didn't look at the list, but I'm looking at all the quarterbacks drafted. Yeah, I guess that's fair. Probably 5 would be right.
I think it's fair. I guess I my mind be thinking like, man, they ain't showing no love to the. I would have thought probably Trevor Lawrence was like number 2 or something, 1 or 2, because it's Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm. He probably should have been if he'd come along.
Yeah,
more like he still seems like he exists in that place where it. A lot of this is relatively hypothetical from when he was drafted. It looks like, hey, there's a lot of potential within there. And that draft status is still carrying him, but we've not seen the prospect that he was in 2021 turn into the type of player. I mean, they even gave him the contract that would seemingly befit the player in theory that they have not seen on the field, which thankfully for the Texans, because that guy's in your division, you have to see him twice a year. But we know uniquely because we've seen him with this level of, consistency, that he has not become that kind of like, terrifying quarterback that he should have been, that he should be, if he is actually living up to that number one draft pick that he had.
I do have questions.
Okay.
Because I think there's going to be, this is top 20 or top 10?
Top 20.
Top 20 of the last 5 years. I would, looking at the quarterbacks, and maybe I'm just being dumb here, I think Davis Mills is pushing top 10.
No, they didn't put Davis Mills.
They didn't put Davis Mills at all?
No, they didn't put Davis Mills as the top 20. So here, I'll give you...
Because, like...
I want to see who else on this list.
Think about this. Like, I know Bryce Young's probably up there.
Bryce Young comes in at 9.
But if you're putting...
That's a little...
If you're putting Anthony Richardson ahead in the top 10, top 12... What has he done? What has he done?
That is a great question. You want me to read the blurb that they have here? There's been deep strike flashes, no doubt, but they've been outweighed by wayward misses on easy throws and bad decisions outside of a structure. He's higher than other clear first-round bust quarterbacks because he's played in 28 games since high school, counting college and the NFL.
Give me the whole top 10.
All right, so the entire top 10, of course, I gave you CJ, Jaden Daniels, 3 is Brock Purdy, 4 is Jordan Love, 5 is Trevor Lawrence, 6 is Bo Nix of the Broncos.
Yeah.
Great rookie year. Caleb Williams of the Bears is 7th. 8 is Drake May, which I find, I don't know, I'm you can sell me on the Drake May, but I guess you have not seen it all the way come together. We're just seeing pieces when it comes to it. Bryce Young comes in 9th.
Okay.
And then 10th, Michael Penix Jr.
This is kind of an interesting thing. Like everybody knows Davis Mills is a backup quarterback. He's been productive. He's been a productive quarterback.
You got to be honest, though. It'd be kind of wild that Houston Texans had 2 quarterbacks.
Oh, of course, it would be. No, absolutely.
So I think that probably.
But how are you looking at this? Like the most productive? I mean, he's who? Okay, now I need to know the other top 10.
I'm about to say
10 to 20.
Yeah, because these sound like all starters. Because
go as he's reading the list.
Well, I mean, if you end up as a backup, it's kind of hard for you to be one of the.
That's what I'm saying.
But he's been a starter.
He has. All right, so. As we continue on,
if we got Mac Jones on here, then I will be like, all right, hold on.
So I will continue reading from 11 to 20 on the top.
I'm gonna stop you every CBS time Sports. I think Davis Mills has had a better career,
and I'm kind of amazed that you have not noticed that none of the quarterbacks that are in this year's draft class coming up have been put in any of this. Do you think that's fair? First and foremost, you think that's fair?
Absolutely.
All right, 11 is where Cam Ward drops in on this list. So they're putting Cam Ward as the 11th best.
So before he played a snap,
that's right. Justin Fields at 12. Okay. Shedeur Sanders comes in at 13.
Come on, man.
And then that's where we get to Mac Jones.
All this
14.
Damn list
of it. They got Shedeur Sanders ahead of Mac Jones, even, man.
Well, right, Mac Jones looks like he fell very quickly into, he's a backup. I mean, Mac Jones, his 1 year.
He had an okay
good.
Yeah, with McDaniels, he had an okay year.
And then it very quickly became apparent. Yep. That is not really a starter that you want. Will Levis, 15. Anthony Richardson, 16. Zach Wilson, 17.
What are we doing?
Kenny Pickett, 18.
What are we? Now, you still don't think Davis Mills should be on this list, Figgy? You still don't think that?
Now I understand. Like, yeah. Now, I mean,
you look at it. I'm telling you, man.
No, I get it now when you got Kenny Pickett on there and Will Levis.
All right. So
like, the first 10 was like starting quarterbacks, though. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it'd be weird to have Davis Mills on top 10 against these stars.
I said pushing top 10. He'd be pushing the top 10.
Now, Kenny Pickett and Will Levis.
Yes, mm-hmm. And I feel like there's a couple of places where people should probably be offended, all right?
Yeah.
19th, 19th is J.J. McCarthy.
God almighty.
They got J.J. McCarthy behind Kenny Pickett, Zach Wilson, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, they're about to, literally they have his replacement on the list above him, and they're like, yeah,
technically the Titans got two quarterbacks on this list.
There you go. There you go. Somebody does up there. Like,
and then Trey Lance is 20, which I'm like,
that
God
is ridiculous.
Almighty.
Guys, what are we doing?
All right, so we've established Davis Mills deserves to be on this list.
Yes.
How high, though? That's the question.
That's where I'm going. I would put him. Okay, who's 13, 14 on the list? Who's 13?
I mean, we got to take these Cam Ward's and Shedeur Sanders off.
But that's the idea, is like trying to see how they fit in. And I thought that was an interesting exercise because me and you had kind of a conversation about, a side conversation just about the idea of, I think you at one point said, one of them is going to be a stud. You're just going to, and I'm like, I don't think you can assume that one of the quarterbacks will absolutely be a stud. And I think that leads you to a conversation and a question where you go, how high of a ceiling do you have to be able to project on a quarterback for you to then make that high value proposition selection in the draft? And I think that you might be seeing that Cam Ward seems like the ceiling is high enough as he's probably gonna, like, I think he profiles us at the high level, a really, really solid starter, right?
Yeah.
Shedeur, I think, is an interesting one because I'm like, all right, is he going to be like a good starter as a relatively high ceiling?
Mm-hmm.
And then is that a place where you get comfortable? But that kind of player they have at 13, and then they immediately go to Mac Jones, who has failed as a starter, who is a consistent backup. That's where we get to the backup territory.
Yeah.
So Will Levis at 15, Anthony Richardson at 16, and then Zach Wilson at 17.
All right,
it's probably
so
the Zach Wilson right?
No, lower than 15, Davis Mills.
So you got him above Will Levis and Anthony Richardson for sure.
Yes.
That's fair.
Right?
Yeah. God, Trey Lance? What have he done?
Well, I can tell you what he's done. I think he just signed a contract with the CFL team. That's what he's done.
Goodness gracious, man.
But I do think that they're 100% right at the very top where CJ Stroud is still in that place. Like you are blessed with a quarterback where even through, and like from a national perspective that, you know, sometimes isn't as favorable to a player locally as they can be. They saw through that season last year, even though there was a lot of conversation about, is he having a sophomore slump? People could see through and be like, no, that's still the one. And it's so nice to not be in the conversation where you're having to make the proposition or the conversation of how high is the ceiling or how low of a ceiling do you have to go to? No, you're just in a place where when the time comes and it becomes available, you give him his big money contract and you continue to cook. And not only you give him the big money contract, because we're not talking about a Trevor Lawrence, where you give him the big money contract and you wonder if you're going to see the production. You know the production will be there. You know that you're set at quarterback. What a place to be if you're a Houston, Texas fan.
That's comical.
I'm
just stuck on
they
that.
They could have just kept it top 10.
Top 10. I wouldn't be so offended.
So Mac Jones is not on this list.
No, Mac Jones
was. Oh, is he?
Jones was in the lower quadrant of it. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including I kind of want to check in on what some of the other former Astros did on opening day. Plus, Rockets getting a victory over the Jazz. We'll talk about that next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into What's Poppin'. And something just happened that I'm sorry, I got to talk about.
Oh, for sure.
In the NBA, in the Southwest Division, if you still, you know, subscribe to divisions in basketball, the Memphis Grizzlies just made a move that is kind of wild and probably takes them off of your radar and at all for the playoffs. Not that I don't know that anybody felt super strong about the Grizzlies, but Taylor Jenkins, mm-hmm. who has been the head coach of the Grizzlies for, I mean, what, a handful of years? What has it probably been, like 5 years at this point?
Yeah.
He has been relieved of his duties before the end of the season as the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies. And it's a really perplexing move from the Grizzlies because he has seen them like have a level of resurgence and be really good with young guys mm-hmm. in that space. Like they've done a good job of taking like second round type guys and making them better. Guys like Brandon Clark, guys like David Roddy, who no longer is there, but you know, I think Santi Aldama is another guy who's been like really good there. They've taken guys and made a lot of chicken salad out of some, you know, yeah. lower draft picks. But they've had an up and down year, and now he's out of there, and that's a really interesting coach that's going to be out there for teams this year.
Shocking, right?
Yeah. How many more games they got in the season?
8, 9, 10?
Y'all decide to let them go? I'm like, damn, something must have happened.
That's where I am too, Figgy. I don't know what it could have been. But, I mean, they're not... I mean, they're 44-29.
How many games off the Rockets are they? Because they're currently in fifth behind the Lakers, which obviously puts them behind where you're number two in the West Rockets.
They're 3 games in the loss column behind the Rockets.
You don't usually see a coach get fired like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so unless we hear something on him doing something,
yeah.
this is very perplexing. But he is too good to be one of those guys that's out there beyond the next cycle to where you could add him
he'll
to
the
staff.
He'll be coaching next year.
No, I know, but yeah, like as a head
yeah.
coach.
Yeah, that's, no, he'll right? be a head coach okay. in the NBA next year.
Because it's one of the things, and yeah. I don't know, like, and this is, I guess this is can be viewed a little negatively, and I don't yeah. want it to be, but one of the things I look at with this Rockets team is just how young the coaching staff is.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wonder, like, how do you maybe add some experience to that? And one of the things that you often see is, like, you know, if there's just a guy who's been out there, can you add an experienced guy to your coaching staff as, you know, year over year things happen? I imagine that that's not going to be one that you... And also, he ends up being a little bit more of a defensive guy. And you've got defense on lock when it comes to this team.
Yeah.
They do a good job of coaching up defense.
Well, I think he'll be a head coach. I mean, with what he's done, you know, obviously, you know, they're still in the hunt. Like, 2 weeks ago, now I got this just straight off of an NBA writer on Twitter about 30 seconds ago. But apparently 2 weeks ago, he had the fourth best odds to win coach of the year.
and now he is on the unemployment line.
Yeah.
It's a wild world.
It's a wild world.
It's from the 832. He must have said something about Ja's mama. Maybe. Yeah. But he seemed to get the most out of his players, do such a good job of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he's a really good, like, insightful coach, really knowledgeable. It's one of those guys where very quickly people put the stamp on him. Okay, we know that he's a good coach,
which yeah.
is one of those things that you're not always certain about. With a young up and coming coach, and he's one of those guys. So that's interesting. We'll see where he ultimately lands in the offseason, and we'll see what that does to the Grizzlies. I imagine yeah. that really takes them out of a place of really having a good contention. I don't know that they're going to get like the new manager bounce mm-hmm. or what have you this late into the season.
Our friend Adam Spillane had a very good, interesting theory he just posted, and that is maybe they already made up their mind and they don't want him to make a run in the postseason.
Yeah, because then you have to bad optics.
Him. Then you have to yeah. keep him. You know, kind of like the NC State coach, you know, making that run into the Final Four yeah. last year. They had already decided to fire him, and then it was like, oh crap, can't fire him. Now I don't know why they would have already decided to fire Jenkins.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, but you've seen coaches that have made a run and, mm-hmm. and still get fired in the NBA.
Yeah.
So I don't, that would be a weird mm-hmm. way to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, not the way that I would have handled it, but I mean, not my team, not my problem, I guess, yeah. right? Like, that's how that is going to go. My team, my problem, and no problem at all. The Houston Rockets get a 121-110 victory in Utah, take themselves to 11 wins in their last 12 games. And this was business as usual, wasn't it? Like, this team handled business, especially behind Alperen Şengün, 33 yeah. points, 10 boards. And one of the things about it is just he looked really solid also at the free throw line, 11-13 mm-hmm. from the free throw line. But he was cooking in a way that when he's at his best, that's the type of game that you like seeing from Alperen.
No, it was very much an expected, and they did what it was expected type win, you know, going down, getting Utah taken care of. Now, the interesting thing is from here, to me, the takeaway from the Rockets is you got a 2-game lead now on the Nuggets, and you have 3 home games left. And there's 2 weeks remaining, so this is where it gets real, real interesting. You know, they've done to be able to do. We talked about it before it even started when they got the soft part of the schedule. You got to win most of these games. Man, they damn near won all of them. I mean, to be able to do that says something. Maybe they're finding a little something.
Yeah, and yeah. Some of the things that I've hoped for as growth points we've seen, and like mm-hmm. you talk about Alperen Şengün, mm-hmm. the touch on the rim was good in this game, right? Shooting free throws was good in
free
this game.
Free throws, yeah.
With Jalen Green. It's very evident that you see, and I mean, he shot, 8 of 20? Mm-hmm. So it was like, it was a solid game. It wasn't a great game efficiency-wise in that aspect, but you're definitely seeing him as more of a primary ball handler in instances. In fact, this was a game in which you closed with the younger guys. Dylan Brooks and Fred VanVleet were not on the floor mm-hmm. in the closing lineups. You closed with, you know, a lot of the younger guys, Amen, Tari, Jalen Green. And Jalen Green yeah. had the ball in his hands, and he's distributing in a much better way. Like, the blinders are getting... you know, less and less yeah. where you've seen him be like just pure score mode in years past. And I'm not saying early in the season, but years past where it's like he gets blinders. Mm-hmm. You're seeing that fade away fully where he's looking to dime. In fact, he had a fantastic pass to Alperen where he goes and he slams it home. So a really good win by the Rockets against a team that they should, although a team that's been giving them hell a little bit in the Utah Jazz this yeah. season. I imagine that's because Will Hardy was Ime Udoka's lead assistant up in Boston, so I have a feeling he has a good idea mm-hmm. of how his system works. But they got the win that was necessary. Their next game is on Sunday in Phoenix against the Suns. Go ahead and get a win and see if you can continue to push them down as they have fallen out of the play-in mm-hmm. As of last night. The Phoenix Suns are now in 11th. If you continue to push them down, make that draft pick a little bit more lucrative in yeah. potential deals or in a possibility for you to utilize it in the draft.
And I think, you know, obviously Jalen Green, you talked about it, the little signs of development, growth in this stretch. In the last game, I thought, we talked about it here, I thought his decision making, and that's what you're referencing, it's not just, you know, just scoring, but decision making, whether it's distributing the ball or just how to read the floor in particular sets, that's what you got to have going down the stretch.
We'll talk more about it a little bit later, but he really is. The question that you've asked all season long, and I think it's been a fair one, is like, who do you give the ball to at the end of the game? Mm-hmm. And I don't know that you're in that place where you're like, oh, no matter what, yeah, it's absolutely Jalen Green, but he's made it so much easier yeah. to put the ball in his hands
yes.
and say, hey, we need you to get a bucket. Because it's not just that. It's if a team loads up or if a team decides, it finds a way to stop it, he's mm-hmm. done a great job of finding where that ball needs to go to in order to get the bucket that's necessary. All right. Some other things that are popping in some ways. The Texas Children's Houston Open is continuing. Leaderboard before the second round started mm-hmm. had three guys at the top, Alejandro Tosti, Ryan Gerard, and Keith Mitchell. And they got the full day to get today. I know they had to stop for darkness yesterday yeah. because of, you know, all of the things that they were kind of working around. They're back in action today. And it looks nice out. Like, we haven't yeah. had some of the rain that we were kind of concerned about when it came to the forecast as of late. Are you looking at the leaderboard?
I'm looking at it right now. Is this happening as we speak? It sure is.
Scottie Scheffler making the run
up
the table.
Holy!
All right, what's his round? Or did he finish his round yesterday, or was
three
he also
under? He was 3 under or 2 under when it stopped. I was like, this can't be right. Scottie Scheffler, 9 under on the live leaderboard that I'm looking at. Leading the pack. How about that?
Okay, so
you got a headliner up there
playing good golf.
Yeah, this is it, because Minwoo Lee was tied for the lead. Now he's dropped back. He's even today. This is stacking up pretty good here, buddy.
All right, so I have a feeling that I know where one of the places that you'll be this weekend.
Yeah, I'm going Sunday.
Okay,
I'm going Sunday.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, you might want to ask Saturday the way that this is going right now. It looks like he might be playing some really fun golf all through
the
weekend.
I'm going to be at Driftwood Shores at Wolf Point okay. on Saturday.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
He's a busy man.
He is a busy man. But yeah, Texas Children's Houston Open still going on and happening there. I mean, make sure you go out and see what's happening, because mm-hmm. again, you've got, like, if it wasn't just good to get out there and see some golf, get some fresh air, mm-hmm. you got names that you know in a very in a very large capacity playing really solid golf. And he's on a run right now. Like, it's a
big
hot
time.
Day.
6 under today.
Beautiful.
Six
stuff.
Under today.
I would now like to go to the Hader leaderboard as opposed to the Houston Open leaderboard. Mm-hmm. Cam Smith, he got a nice hit in his debut, which was really fun. And Isak Paredes looked really solid, especially on defense. Had a good stop at the hot corner.
Mm-hmm.
But let's look around the league at the former Astros and see how they did. I don't know if you have Schadenfreude in your particular bag, but if you would like to pull that out, you can. Kyle Tucker went 1-for-5 for the Cubs, and what was just, they poured it on.
Yeah, they did.
Like, that was one of the games yesterday where it was like, oh, so y'all took all the offense and poured it out on day one. Are you going to have any leftover for the rest of the season? Mm-hmm. 10-6 was the Cubs' win over the Arizona Diamondbacks. 1-5. Two strikeouts for Kyle Tucker, though. But he had a walk and an RBI in the top of the second to give them a lead at 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
He only had one hard hit ball in the course of that game. So, Kyle Tucker, okay. The Bregman slow start, though, that's going to be a thing. In fact, the fast start that did happen, though, because the Red Sox were opening in Arlington, the thing that happened very quickly was Bregman being booed. They made sure. They were like,
I mean, heartily.
We know who you are.
He was really booed and just laughing the whole time. He's like, man, I can't get away from this stuff. He was just getting booed like crazy.
Yes.
So they introduced the entire line. Well, he was going to be there anyway, but they actually do the on-field introduction.
Yes.
You know, they line up on the base pass. Boy, they were letting him have it.
Yeah, he had a big smile ear to ear because he knew what time it was.
Yeah.
At the plate, though,
mm-hmm.
didn't, or maybe he did. Like, maybe this is just par for the course, as we know very uniquely. 0-for-4 with a strikeout. He did have two hard hit balls, and he had one of those long outs, 392 feet fly out. But Boston got the last laugh over the Rangers with a top of the ninth that went Trevor Story walk, Christian Campbell single, Willier Abreu home run, and that was what gave them the lead and ultimately won the game for them 5-2. So the Rangers got the loss, and Bregman got booed. So if you are inclined to view it that way, You got the best of both worlds.
I'm never going to be inclined to view it that
way.
Unless they face, until they face the Astros and, just kind of pulling against him having success. But yeah, come on, Bregman and Tucker, you can't hate on those cats.
And then I appreciate the 8-3-2 bringing up the other folks, other former Astros a little bit further away. Correa went 0-for-4 with a strikeout. Springer went 0-for-3 in a walk and two strikeouts. So they're saying that they feel
They did some research. They were definitely hating.
You've got the Hader leaderboard online. In fact, that is now your responsibility, 832. You got the Hader leaderboard.
Yeah.
And then also, just to be a little bit more of a hater before we move it along, you did see that Cam Smith, doing his rookie duties, brought in 3 dozen Shipley donuts. The young man knows he's got taste.
That's how you do it.
He's got taste.
He said home in the post-game interview. So great to be home.
God, I love
all
that
right.
Kid.
All right.
God, he's doing exactly what he needs to do. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. In fact, I think we might talk a little bit more about Cam Smith, because coming up next, we got a little game. Let's play some word association for Astros opening day. A little opening day word association coming up next.